This is News Talk.
Well, as you can imagine, that government U-turn on Leaving Cert students dominating a number of the papers this morning. We'll start with the Irish Times. Government drops plans for partial reopening of schools. The government has abandoned plans to bring Leaving Cert students into class for 3 days a week from next week. And that's after mounting opposition from teachers and principals, according to that newspaper. Also as well, an awful lot of students speaking out about it, and some parents too. So the combined opposition to it leading to this government U-turn. Also, plans to reopen special schools and classes for children with special needs have been scrapped pending further engagement with all education stakeholders, Minister for Education Norma Foley has said. I suppose watch this space when it comes to creches, because we now have the Leaving Cert students not back in, special schools not in, special classes not in. You would wonder, will there be a call for creches, although they are only providing services really to the children or frontline workers, so it is a slightly different argument there. And what the Irish Times does is go through the public health view on the reopening of schools, and Dr. Tony Houlihan saying last night, schools are not dangerous, they are safe places in relative terms. He said the quantum of activity involved in allowing Leaving Cert students attend school 3 days a week was totally different to allowing all school children back to school full time. And clearly what happened yesterday was we had this announcement at around 6 or half 6 from the ASTI that they wouldn't be engaging in teaching Leaving Cert students physically in class from next week, and that was obviously the reason why Minister Norma Foley made this U-turn. The big question now, of course, will be who will actually decide when schools are back? Who decides this? Is it the minister? Is it the unions? Is it NPHET? And when will they come back? So all of the talk now is get a plan together. And when you have your plan, you need to stick to it. Obviously, if the public health advice allows it at the time. Tentatively, they're hoping that they'll reopen schools on the 31st of January, but things can change, as we all know. The Irish Independent actually looks at the issue of creches, and the reason being is whether or not parents should have to pay when the creches are closed. The government is exploring ways to force childcare providers to repay parents who are charged fees for services that can't be used. There's concern among parents that creches will still charge fees for January so that their child's place can be maintained. And I suppose parents are wondering, well, why is that fair when we can't send our children into the creche? The average fee nationally was put at €736 a month. Parents in Dublin forking out an average of €1,000 a month for one child. And really, in some areas of the country, it is a second mortgage for families putting their child into a creche each month. And the government is hoping that creches will repay parents voluntarily. But the Department of Children last night said it was looking at whether there are mechanisms whereby it can mandate services to repay fees. Obviously, you can't just rely on the goodwill of creches to refund. They have to look at some other way of giving parents back their money while also securing the place for the child. But then you have, as you heard in the news there, groups who represent the childcare sector saying as things stand, they might have to close because it's not sustainable to just provide childcare for the children of frontline workers. They're not making enough money that way. So maybe we'll get more funding for the childcare sector. I don't know. It's what the department is looking at anyway. The Irish Examiner, CUH to trigger major disaster plan. Cork University Hospital is poised to trigger an emergency escalation plan to manage an unfolding COVID-19 crisis that has left staffing levels in free fall across the health service. That paper says that at CUH, 180 nurses there unavailable for work this week because of COVID-19. Either they have the virus themselves, or maybe they're a close contact of a confirmed case, or maybe they themselves are self-isolating. And as we heard in the news, there's a emergency meeting of the INMO executive today. I don't imagine that Cork will be the last hospital to have an escalation plan in place and ready to roll if things go any worse than they are. Irish Daily Mail has an exclusive by Craig Hughes about yet another issue to do with our technology systems in the health service. And that paper says that HSE staff are being forced to record highly sensitive vaccine data on paper in 2021. They have to write out personal information on paper first and then put it into a cumbersome computer system. Politicians are deeply concerned as it emerged that health workers aren't working with an IT system, they are working with an IT system that isn't yet fully functional. And I suppose some people would say, well, they don't know how this is the case, given that we've had months and months to prepare for the rollout of a vaccine. We all knew a vaccine was coming, so why isn't the IT system good enough and ready to process all of this data to do with the vaccine? You can read more about that in the Irish Daily Mail. The Irish Sun, we can live again. A pensioner who was given only an hour to live after getting COVID-19 said he felt great yesterday after receiving the miracle jab. Offaly man Michael Delaney was among the first nursing home residents to get the vaccine here. It's a lovely, lovely story. And the head of the care centre in Ferban said, we can live our lives again soon. And that's what we're all hoping, isn't it? Every single day you wake up, you kind of hope that someday this will all be a thing of the past. Irish Daily Mirror has an interview with what they call an Irish beauty queen who was forced to flee in terror after being chased by angry Trump supporters during the Washington DC riots. Fionnuala O'Reilly works for NASA and she was out for an early morning jog as the Capitol Hill violence kicked off, and she said she was followed and verbally abused, the reason being because she was wearing a mask in Washington. And of course, that was one of the amazing things about the protests, the riots, the mobs, is that, it seemed so alien watching it from here. Very, very few people had masks on. I mean, we had a lot of other things to be concerned about when watching the mob on Capitol Hill, but so few of them were wearing masks. And as she says, she was abused for actually wearing one. The Irish Daily Star, here we go again. We've another story about this RTE New Year's Eve broadcast with Waterford Whispers News. And the Star has an exclusive today which says that Gardaí ran to the scene of the sketch because they thought it was a real arrest. The writer behind the skit, Colm Williamson, revealed that Gardaí rushed to help when they came across the scene being filmed at a courthouse. So they thought that there was a colleague outside. This was an actor dressed up, obviously, in the Garda uniform, but they thought this was a real Garda who was trying to make an arrest, and they ran out to help. And as we heard yesterday, RTE Chief Executive Dee Forbes, or Director General Dee Forbes, said an internal probe found that the item on New Year's Eve, which depicted God as a rapist, failed the station's standards, and an official apology would be posted. And as you know, we've had over 5,000 complaints about that particular sketch. Anyway, move on. Obviously, I was talking there about Donald Trump and those protests on Wednesday, and the Irish Independent tells us now that Dáil and Seanad's security is to be urgently reviewed as a result of what happened at the US Capitol building. TDs and senators have discussed the need for tighter security amid fears that groups could target Leinster House in a similar fashion to the events in Washington, D.C. this week. And I suppose a lot of people would think, well, if they can do it in Washington, they could certainly do it in any of our parliaments here. And as you may have heard, the Dáil is now only going to sit for 12 hours a week. But what the Security Committee at Leinster House is to report as soon as possible is on measures that might be taken to strengthen the protections against assaults by a mob or an individual. So that's a big investigation that's underway. Now, Taoiseach the Leo Varadkar was in this very studio yesterday speaking on the Pat Kenny Show here on News Talk. It's got an awful lot of coverage in the papers about what he said was the government considering banning the sale of alcohol after a certain time in the day. It's across all the papers. The Irish Independent says this will be in an attempt to reduce the number of people congregating after buying takeaway pints. And obviously, Micheál Martin has said, forget about the pints during this lockdown. Speaking with Pat Kenny, Leo Varadkar said that takeaway pints cannot be banned outright, but they are looking at other measures around the sale of alcohol, but it's not actually that straightforward. Now, the Licensed Vintners Association is out saying that if you ban alcohol sales after a certain time of day, well, then you're going to have queues forming outside supermarkets and off licences. So they seem to be suggesting that staggering it is better, you know, from what's at 10:30, 11 in the morning until 10 at night. That's better than having queues outside. You might let me know what you think. You can text me here on News Talk 53106. Given what we know, you hear Tony Houlihan saying that the COVID loves alcohol. Should we be banning alcohol after a certain time of day? Love to hear what you think of that. Frightening story in the Irish Examiner. The typical age of drug runners in a large Dublin suburb is now 10 years of age. It used to be 13, it's now 10. The report said the runners who carry and deliver drugs to local dealers can be as young as 8 years of age. Just heartbreaking to think that children as young as 8 are delivering drugs for drug dealers. And in some of these communities, unfortunately, you know, with the flash cars and with the flash clothes and the trendy trainers, these are people that they look up to. These are their icons in some communities, and it's just heartbreaking. Researchers said there's been a continuing increase in the number of juveniles involved in drug dealing in the last 4 years. Children are being drawn into drug running and dealing by the social status and the easy money that comes with it, as well as family connections and rising drug debt intimidation. And the report has been conducted by the Blanchardstown Local Drug and Alcohol Task Force. It also cites the normalisation of drug use within society. Really, really upsetting stuff. You can read more about that in the Irish Examiner. And we'll move on to two final stories coming from across the water. And this is really interesting. If any of you are going into your physical workplace this morning, obviously you're advised not to. The appeal is to stay at home. But if you are, well, you could wear this thing around your neck that tells you if you're 2 metres away or not. This is the BBC staff who cannot work from home, so they're in the office. They're going to have to wear social distancing proximity devices around their neck using wireless technology. This is like a dog collar. Do you know the way when dogs go up close to a gate and they get a sort of buzz thing that puts them away from escaping out of the house? Well, wireless technology is being used in the BBC, and the staff will get a beep to alert them if they come within 2 metres of a colleague. Employees will also receive lateral flow COVID tests twice a week. Very, very interesting indeed. And also a reminder that this week the BBC is offering the biggest education offering in its history for pupils who cannot attend school due to the lockdowns. They're taking a lot of measures on COVID-19. Final story for you. If you're a man wondering if you can wear shorts into work, yes, you can, is the answer. It used to be the case that you shouldn't wear shorts except on holidays and on the beach, but now a judge in the UK has ruled it's discriminatory for men to be banned from wearing shorts at work if their female colleagues are at the same time allowed to wear short trousers and leggings. It's a bit ironic, isn't it? It used to be the focus was on what women were wearing, unfairly, obviously. Now it's about men, but this is all to do with the court case, an employment tribunal in Manchester, and a manager there who wanted to wear shorts in boots was told, no, you can't wear them. He said, well, the women are able to wear shorter trousers, and now it turns out you can wear shorts in work, certainly in the UK anyway.
On 106 to 108 FM and at newstalk.com. This is Newstalk.